Welcome back to another episode on Aligned with Purpose in Life and Leadership. And today's guest is Justin Carter. He's the owner and operator of Pivot Business Services. He coaches CEOs, executives, and solopreneurs to grow and scale six-figure businesses. He also helps high performance develop incredible mindsets. So excited to have you on the show. I've definitely had you on that list for quite some time now, so I'm very thankful to have this conversation. Welcome.
Honored to be here. Honored. I'm so excited to be a part of this great thing that you're doing. So glad to be hanging out and chatting with you.
Thank you. And I would love to kick this off by asking you, what does it mean to be aligned with your purpose to you?
It's a phenomenal question. I think, to me, aligned and being aligned with purpose is really all about one, and I call it like finding the place in life where you have no rivals. I think everybody to me on earth has been placed uniquely and have unique gifts, and there's a unique voice, and a unique audience, and a unique perspective that they have. And I believe when people are in that space, that there is no rivals. Like I, no matter how I try to look, there's no better Jamie than you. You're the authentic Jamie. And no matter where you look, no matter what you check out on TV or what you try to search for, there's no better Justin than me being myself. And so that's for me, I would say, you know, really purpose and aligning, you know, really what purpose is.
That's so powerful. So powerful. And I would love to then ask you, when do you feel in your life, when was that turning point for you where you feel like you truly stepped into your authentic self, your authentic voice and following that purpose?
Yeah, man, that's a phenomenal question. So I think, you know, throughout my life, I've always, I think, seen glimpses of it. There's aspects of, for me, purpose that intertwined throughout, you know, whether that was college or, you know, I played football a lot of my life. And all those in those moments felt purposeful, but I'm not sure that I would call them my purpose. And for me, I think now I would call it really in the last couple of years, I've really started to lean into what feels like purpose to me. Purpose for me, it's like the culmination of all the things finally coming together to make reason or rationale for why they had to be. You know, like sometimes you could be in a space in life where things seem so disjointed. And it's like, I don't know why I had to go through that or why this thing impacted me this way or why I had to grow up this way or why I was dealt that set of cards. But I think now I'm at a place in my life where I'm really starting to get like, oh shoot, like the reasons why are all starting to come together and it's helping me impact people in ways that I didn't know that that thing happened 6 years ago, how it helped me coach someone today or how that experience that I had or how the money that I made or I didn't make can help me you know, articulate something or explain something to somebody. So for me, it's like now I would say these last couple of years, things are really starting to align for me and it's all starting to make sense.
That makes so much sense. And it's like using your past experiences as lessons is what it sounds like. So you may not have known it in the moment, but now it's all making sense. And so where does the pivot aspect come into play for you? Did you feel like you pivoted a few times? Because your sounds like your whole business is revolved around that. I would love to hear more.
Yeah, I've pivoted a lot. So and I think everybody has. I just don't know that we call it that. I think we just call it life. But when I look at my life, there's key moments that if I had not made a significant shift or a pivot in my life, that I wouldn't be on the path that I am now. And I'm not saying the path that I'm on now is perfect, but you know, I've had many of them. I've had pivots when, you know, I grew up in inner city and had a shift when I went into you know, a large state college and was immersed in an environment that I had no idea about and around people that I didn't grow up with. And so learning different perspectives, different ethnicities, different cultures, right? That was a pivot in my life. And, you know, for me, again, I had played football all my life, played through, you know, I started at seven years old playing football. And my last years playing football was my junior year in college. And so played pretty much a significant part of my life. And that was a pivot when I pivoted from hanging up the football cleats to going really what I considered full time into like the next thing in my life, which would be business and entrepreneurship, and getting more serious about my schooling. That was a big pivot. You know, one of the biggest pivots that I've ever made was my wife and I, when after we graduated college, we moved to California, which I was born and raised in Ohio. And so California was 2,600 miles away from everything that I had known. We hadn't known anyone there. There was no family in California. I've never even traveled there before I accepted the role. So I accepted a job out in California, never traveled there. We rented a house based on the pictures that we seen on Zillow.com. Huge pivot, you know, and that significantly, you know, set a new trajectory in my life. You know, I moved from California to Colorado. That was a significant pivot. So I would just say for me, like when I look at my life, most of the like accelerated growth and the quantum leaps that I've experienced was around a pivot that I made. It was a decision to do something that was completely different. I felt like risk, or I was taking risk. But those have been for me like the pivots and how significant they've been in my life.
Mm. It's so powerful. Like in that moment, you don't realize that you are changing, like you are taking a different path, changing the trajectory of your life. So I'm sure somebody's listening to this and they're at a crossroads right now to where they could make a big decision like this. How do you know which way to go in that moment?
Yeah, it's such a powerful, that's such a powerful question. And I kind of answer it like this. So for me, I'm a man of faith, and I believe in God, and I believe that God has put us on earth. And what I often, when people ask me that question, I say to them typically is, how do you not know that God won't bless either one that you decide to choose? Mm-hmm. You know, like we often think that, you know, life is all about a or. And what if we live in an abundant mindset that says, hey, whichever one I decide to go, I will be blessed. whatever route that I decide to go, or whatever decision I decide to make, that both of them have their own blessings or their own upside or pros attached to them. And because I had that, to phenomenal question, because I've had that so many times in my life where it was like, do I move to this place or do I move to this place? And it's like, man, mm-hmm. and you know, you put out your list and you weigh your pros and your cons, and sometimes nothing screams out. You know, sometimes it's not like, hey, do I want to move to, you know, Hawaii or do I want to move to Ohio? It's like, clearly go to Hawaii, right? But sometimes the decisions aren't that clear. Sometimes it's like you're pulling hair. And so for me, I've really got to, because here's the thing too. It's like, I cannot assume that all the decisions that I've made happen to become or go well because I was that good at making decisions, right? I cannot put that much faith in my decision-making, but I can put faith in the fact that I've been okay with making the adjustments or the shifts in those decisions, right? And so it's like, man, you're going to make a decision. And, you know, I think we're always going to have decisions to make in life, but it's making those decisions and being okay with making adjustments in the midst of those decisions. You know, and not necessarily having expectations of, hey, this thing is going to be the biggest, best thing. It's like, actually just go make the decision and be mindful of what's going on and make whatever adjustments and shifts you may have to in the process.
Mm, I feel that. I feel that because I feel so often people just don't make a decision because they're worried. What if it's not the right one? What if this other one would have been better? But I firmly believe you're going to take the path that's meant for you in that moment. Yeah. Even if you don't know which one it is, it's meant for you. There's a lesson in that journey. And I have to circle back to what you said about Hawaii, because I remember when we were deciding whether or not to move to Maui.
Oh yeah.
You did. We went for it and we just did that. And we mapped out on a whiteboard the pros and cons, what we wanted. And yeah, and that's what we ran with it. And it was meant for real. Us.
That's mm-hmm. so real. But to that point, like you said, there's so many people that get stuck at making decisions. And with the worst decision is indecision. What you cannot do is you cannot not make a decision. You know, if you're, and that's again, you know, we both coach, and you know, I think it can be a perpetual thing that people can often get stuck in a place in life, and they get stuck in a scenario or get stuck in a job or stuck in a relationship. And they stay there, not really understanding the cost of not doing anything. You actually cost yourself more by staying stuck than actually making a poor next step. Like, you know, and so if I were to categorize, you know, taking action, taking a misstep, and not taking action at all, I would put not taking action at all at the bottom, because you actively decide to stay in discontent, you know, and you sever that trust with yourself, and you lower your confidence levels, and, you know, you destroy your esteem because you at minimum hadn't take action to be able to, one, even see what you're capable of, right? Like, what is life without really understanding what's on the inside of us? And I think when we don't take a step forward or we don't take action, it's very hard to discover, hey, what's really deep down in there? You don't even know, right? You don't even know what's there and the things that are yet in wanting to emerge to come out. I would say for me, some of the best things that have come out of me have been some of the darkest moments. It's been some of the hardest, challenging times that I've pulled out things that I didn't know was there. And I had to reach for an aspect or a capacity that I wasn't even familiar with and tap into a version of myself that I didn't even know was there. And had I not gone through whatever, right? Had I not gone through the valley or the dark place, I would have never have been able to develop the strength that I needed to be able to shine on the mountaintop of whatever that aspect of life is for you.
That's so powerful. And on this journey, we were talking about like discontentment. What would cause someone to stay in the same place that they've always been? Do you feel like it is that fear we kind of spoke about making the right decision?
Yeah, I think I would say a couple of things. I would say one, environment. I know, you know, you can easily get settled into a thing if your environment doesn't suggest that you should do differently. And so even though it's what I've seen around me, and instead of really taking like and trusting my gut instinct and taking a step forward, I just blend in with the crowd. I would say environment is very important, right? It's like I used an analogy where if I'm a smoker, like if I smoke cigarettes and I'm around a bunch of people that don't smoke cigarettes, it'll be harder for me to light a cigarette and start smoking around a bunch of people that don't smoke cigarettes. I would actually feel weird. It would feel awkward. Like, let me go outside and do this, or let me go over there and smoke a cigarette because no one around me smokes cigarettes. And equally the other way, it would be harder for me if I wasn't a smoker to start smoking. It'd be easier for me if I wasn't a smoker to start smoking if I was around a bunch of people that smoke cigarettes and things like that, right? And so I think the same thing is true with really taking those steps forward and taking those leaps of faith, is when you're around people that do not take leaps of faith or do not take risk in their lives or don't make those pivots, that's all you've seen and that's all you know to do and be. And so you just expect life is all about being, you know, stuck or being, you know, just staying stagnant in a place. But when you get connected with people that you're seeing going for it, right? And you see them doing their best to live life wide open or doing adventurous things or doing things that they never imagined that they could do, it fires you up. You know, it gives you, and you know, you see it on, you may not even have it close. Like, here's the other thing, like your environment doesn't necessarily even have to be the people that are around you. To me, your environment is whatever you allow into your brain, right? And so I may not like my physical environment, but the cool thing is I can go and listen to your podcast and go to a different environment. I can go to an environment where you are, where you think and people like you think, right? And so I think today that's huge. Environment is huge, I think, when it comes to people and the kind of decisions that they make moving forward.
That's so powerful what you say about environment, especially pulling in the online environment. It's like you can be very selective about what comes your way, especially in the environment. So it's like eliminating what's no longer serving you and surrounding yourself. And that's why I feel like we just thrive in the coaching space, because that's what we're all here to do. How do we level up? How do we continuously go after our vision? So it's really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so when you're working with your clients, what do you feel most of the time people come to you with?
So I got a big mix of the majority of my clients are like business clients, and I've got some clients that I just do mindset stuff with. So there's nothing business related. They're just really trying to get really clear on the kind of life that they want to build. They also want that accountability. They want to live with intentionality, and they don't have the environment that will continually pull it out of them. And so, you know, they'll leverage it, you know, leverage time with me for that. But I would say for the majority, I would say 80% of my client base are all building businesses. I would say it comes down to a couple of things. One is a lot of business clients per se aren't necessarily sure what their unique value proposition is in the marketplace. It's the purpose conversation, but in business, right? Like, you know, people with mindset says, I don't know my purpose. People in business say, I don't know my value proposition, right? I don't know my purpose in the marketplace. And so I think ultimately purpose is the thing that everyone is trying to determine. They're trying to understand, they're trying to get clear on, right? And, yeah. You know, purpose is so so empowering. And I think that's the thing that most people are blocked at is what purpose actually is and how to detain it. And, you know, I think purpose, people almost feel like purpose is like trying to herd cats, right? Where it's like, you know, you might think you've got it, but then there's one that slips away as you're trying to get, you know, and so I'd say to answer your question, primarily getting clear on their actual unique value proposition, and then learning really how to monetize and build the structure on the back end. There's so many people I would say out there that have phenomenal ideas. They've got unique gifts and skill set to be a product or to market a product. But when it comes to marketing channels, when it comes to standard operating procedures, when it comes to the systems on the back end that you use, when it comes to automations and creating repeatable steps and building out a team, most people burn out because they can't effectively do that. You know, it's the thing that you turn from the solopreneur to the entrepreneur. And most people can't really make that jump. They do everything themselves and they can't train people and they're not good around personality. And so they just have this business that just burns them out, you know, and they work 80 hours a week trying to, you know, live the American dream or try to build out whatever their dream is. And it's taxing. And so I think most of my clients are coming to me because they're at that point in their business where they're like, hey, I haven't been able to see significant growth. I am a roadblock to my business and I need to find a way to get unstuck from where I'm at right now.
And I feel when that happens so often, people just remain there unless they're guided by someone like you. Because that block has got to be removed. I mean, look, as you know, nobody signs up to be an entrepreneur to be self-employed and to work their life away. But like some reason, it always happens and it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
and we make excuses for it, right? We just say I'm grinding, right? It's like, no, you're just not efficient. you're just not efficient with your time, you know, and or you just don't trust enough people to give aspects of your business and give them ownership of it or to assign a task or to train up somebody that can do it probably better than you can, but you're so tied up in self that you actually won't actually bring someone on that could actually help you and see the vision that you have. So I so agree with that, 'cause that's such a common thing these days. And I'll even say for me personally, like I can get caught up in it sometimes. You know, I'm always looking at my business to say, hey, do I need to be doing this? You know, like, is this, or is there something that is someone that is much better at doing this than I am? You know, I think, and our mentor says it often, it's like business is one of the most transparent and humbling things that you'll ever do, because you always are seeing your inefficiencies individually show up in your business. You know, if you're not good with your finances, you're probably not good in your business finances either. If you're not organized as an individual, your business probably won't be organized. You know, it's like perpetuating a bit, like a business is a living organism. It just happens to be an extension of you. So if you don't get you right, it's going to roll right into a business.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. So it'll smack you in the face with what you need to fix in your personal life.
So true. Right. So you can often reverse engineer it. So if I'm talking to an entrepreneur and I'm like, hey man, like, where is your SOPs? And he's like, I don't have any. I'm like, so you probably aren't also organizing your own life, right? If you don't have, or what's your profit allocation every month? And he's like, I don't have it. I'm like, oh, so you probably don't have a personal budget either. Nope, I don't. Right. So it's there. Typically you can reverse engineer it. And if you see signs of something in the business, often that means that it also is, it's something that's going on in their personal life too.
That's so powerful. And what do you feel like it is for most people. Like what I've seen is a lot of it is like lack of trust or not wanting to let go, especially when it comes to the outsourcing. Is that something that you see often too?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think though, one thing I think people price their products too low. And they don't have enough margin to really, pamper their clients. And so when you don't have enough margin to really pamper your clients, that means you can't get the best staff. You've got to hire people that are cheap. You've got to get a cousin to do things. You can't really get somebody that is really qualified to do it. You got to have your uncle that, you know, did QuickBooks last year, manage your, you know, like you just, cause you don't have enough margin to spread, to allow yourself to provide great experiences for your clients. And so I think it starts there. To me, it starts at the top line, which is your revenue. It starts with, hey, they're just not bringing in enough money, or at minimum, they're not pricing their product at a place that allows them to really provide exceptional service. So I think it starts there, but then also for those that may have that, right? They may have margin, or they may have really good profit that flows into their business. I think you're right. I think one of the biggest pieces is not necessarily trusting either people around them or themselves, because it's easy for me to manage me, but it's hard for me to manage you. And management, right, is something that people may not have had developed. You know, if you're a tent maker, right, and now you're building a tent making business, it's easy when you're the one making tents because you've made the tents all your life and you can do it without thinking about it. But when you've got to actually have somebody else make the tent and teach them how to do it and not get frustrated when they don't see what you see, or that they don't have the unique, you know, touch that you have, now you've got to find a way to bridge that gap. And I think that's where a lot of people get stuck is literally like duplicating themselves, whatever that is, you know, if that's in a system or that's in a process or if that's in another person.
So powerful. Well, I just finished reading the book Rocket Fuel, and I definitely get the case that you are a strong integrator. You seem like you like to get down there and figure out how to connect all the dots.
So here's the thing. This is the aspect. It's hard because, so I'm an integrator conceptually. So I am an integrator from a conceptual standpoint. So I think in frameworks, I think in systems, I think in like organizational structures, and that's a part of my gift. Like I think a part of my gift is to be able to take a very unstructured thing and make it structured, whether that's in a business or just a concept, right? I could read something. Somebody's like, what does that mean? I'm like, well, it means this, right? I think naturally I've got this unique ability to do that, but I'm not an integrator in that. I'm not very, I'm not the person that will like be, mindful enough to make all the links and put everything together and to be very detail oriented. So it's weird in that I think in that way. And I tell people all the time, like I've got to have people around me that are integrators, because I am not necessarily a integrator where I will do the minutia and the admin and being heads down and the numbers and crunching. I just want to see the dashboards, right? Like I just want to see the output of the data so that I can make faster, quick time decisions kind of deal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's like, I wish I was. I envy the people that are, you know, somebody that can just like that's super detail oriented and that, you know, they're on the numbers or whatever. I'm just like, man, like I admire somebody like that, but I'm more of a influencer. Like I'm someone who, you know, I will, and I don't know if he uses influencer or not. And he uses integrator. What's the other?
Visionary.
Yeah. Yes. Definitely more visionary. Some people use influencer. But I'm definitely more visionary than implementer.
Mm. And I think this really ties into aligning with your purpose. It's because if you're tied up in all this stuff that isn't necessarily what you should be focused on, I like to call it your zone of impact, then you're not going to impact at the level that you should be, right? But assuming you can duplicate yourself and create multiples of you, that's when you can truly shine and your true visionary can come out. So I love that you've been able to incorporate this for yourself and for others. And I love hearing what you're up to in terms of the other offers that you have into play. It's very exciting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oof.
So, okay. So you're walking someone through this process. Typically, what is the end result or the outcome of someone working with you or going through one of your programs? What does that look like?
Yeah. So I strategically like to get entrepreneurs to their first six figures. So I think six figures is a very doable thing in business. I think it's something that you can do with intentionality, and it can be done in my opinion, in a pretty short amount of time, especially if you're in the right market. And I say, like, if you're in the right boat, you know, so the boat that you're in is more important than how hard you row in it. And so as long as you're in the right boat, you know, it's like, just make sure you're not selling like trombone oil and we'll be good. Right. Or make sure you're not trying to sell newspapers. We'll be pretty solid. But to me, so as long as you're in the right boat, that's my end goal. Is I always try to get my customers to their first six figures, not necessarily just for the money per se, but I believe once you get your business, like Charlie Munger talked about it. He said, you know, getting your first 100,000 is the hardest, but it's once you get your first 100,000, then everything gets a lot easier from there. And so my goal is, how do I get entrepreneurs to their first 100,000? And in that, they can really start building more systems and really start turning their solopreneur thing to an entrepreneur thing and start employing people and really start like going from there to the, you know, going from 100,000 to that next level. So that's my goal, is I want to see more entrepreneurs make actual money in their business and not do it for the sake of passion. Passion is great, but passion doesn't pay the bills. Mm-hmm. Passion doesn't put food on the table. And I realized that passion is not connected to profit, and you can be very passionate about something, but that doesn't mean you'll have profit in it. Doesn't mean that thing will actually, you know, it won't mean that you'll take it out of your head and get it into your pocket. Right. And that's kind of my, like, I hope to get the passion that's out of your head and out of your body and into your pocket to actually monetize it. So those are my goals with my clients. Yeah.
That's so powerful. It's reminding me of like Ikigai and just how everything is connected, but you can't have one without the other to fully be in balance. Yeah. That's so beautiful. And I've heard a few of your episodes and just heard you talking about this often. It's really the ability for anyone to impact no matter their audience size. So I would love you to speak into that, because I hear it all the time. Well, I don't have an audience. How could I be successful? Who would listen to me?
Man. It's such a, it's such a powerful topic, because I too used to struggle there. Like I had a friend of mine, and probably about 5-6 years ago, we had a conversation. He said, man, you're so like brilliant around certain aspects. Why don't you like talk about this more? Why don't you post this on social media? Why don't you post this perspective or your thoughts around this? And I was like, nobody wants to listen to me. Like why would someone listen to me when there is a Eric Thomas out there? Why would somebody listen to me when there's a Tony Robbins, or when there's a, Ed, you know, there's a Jay Shetty, or there's a whoever you look up to, right? Like, why would somebody listen to me? And I was just uninformed, right? And when it came down to it, is I had to think, who were the people that really helped me make those next steps in my life? And so I had to realize that I didn't need to be what I thought people, like what I realized, Jamie, is that people often they use their own measure of success to determine someone else's measure. So therefore, they think that they can't be significant to someone else because they personally haven't hit what they look at as significant. So if my goal, if my goal is to be a millionaire, and that is how I deem success, then I could feel that I am not successful until I have $1 million. Simultaneously, though, if someone else does not have the goal to be a millionaire, but they have a goal to be a six-figure earner, right? That I could be at my place able to help someone right where they are. But because, you know, it's like I can be just because I'm a 10-gallon bucket, right? Just because I'm a person, I may think bigger, right? Or I may want to have whatever, right? I may want to have $10 million in the bank, right? That doesn't mean everybody wants that. And so just because you're a 10-gallon bucket, it doesn't mean that you can't be supporting people that are 1 gallon, right? And it's not to diminish or say one person's better than the other, but I think vision and what people want out of their lives are different. And so I had to get out of my own way, right? And realize that I was being selfish holding something, because the seriousness of it for me was like, people are dying every single day, not because they're broke, not because, a person left them, not because they grew up bad. They people give up their life every single day because they can't see a way out of their own pain. They don't see progress. They don't see hope. And so for them, the best thing they've got is to exit the life that currently exists for hopefully something else that relieves the pain. And so who am I, right, in my own whatever, to not give back to people that may be in that space? You know, like I say all the time, like we live when, every day that we do not walk in our purpose, we leave people hanging, literally. Literally, like people hanging, literally. And so for me, it's like, okay, Justin, like get out of your own way and realize that no matter where you are in life, that there's always somebody that can look to you and would trade their life for yours, you know? And so with that, there's always somebody that I can reach back for. There's always somebody that I can give encouragement to. There's always somebody that can give just, it could be an encouragement. You know, I remember times, man, where I had a point in my life where I felt like I was getting ready to lose it all. Had a failed business. You know, bills were behind. I was getting notices on the door from the sheriff because my house was like getting ready to go into pre-foreclosure. All this stuff was going on. And in that moment, I had to realize that I've got a house, first of all, that someone is able to put a notice on. I've got a car that a bill collector is able to call and ask for. You know, I've got a refrigerator that is charged by the electricity bill that's past due, but I've still got a refrigerator, right? And so there's people that don't have those things. And I think what it comes down to is, can you find joy and can you find satisfaction in where you are, right? Can you be grateful over the little things so that you can actually enjoy the big things? And, you know, so it kind of culminates into one, but for me, I think it was a mindset shift. And I had to realize that there's somebody that can help no matter where I am and where I'm at in life. There's always somebody that can be looking to get the kind of life that I've got.
Wow, I feel that. And it's reminded me a lot of just looking back to realize how far you've come as you're still progressing forward and realizing like there's people behind you on this journey that with your guiding hand could be brought up to where you are today. And I feel like when people are striving for that destination, like, okay, I will be successful when they're looking for success external to themselves rather than realizing they are success within themselves. And when you realize that, that's when it's about the journey. And you can bring people with you. It's such a beautiful thing.
I was literally just listening right before we recorded. I was just listening to Alex Hormozi, and he was talking about just that topic, success. And he's like, he said one of the travesties is when people put success on a win, and they not like on a win, like a date, something in the future, and they not take for granted. They not think that they're successful today, because what will continue to happen is you will continue to move the goalpost. So yeah, you want X amount, you want this in your life. You want to get married or you want to have like whatever that thing is. Once you get the thing, you'll move the goalpost again. So, and if that's what happiness is based off of, you'll never attain it. It'll always be a moving thing. It'll always be flighty. So if you realize, you know what, I am successful right now, it doesn't feel different right now than it will when I have whatever the thing is. Because here's the other piece, right? It's like the other stuff is so flighty and it can't make you happy. Because if it could, people who had it would never have trauma. They would never have commit suicide. They would never, you know, experience bad times. They would never be in counseling. They would never need a psychiatrist, right? Like everybody is struggling. Everybody, no matter what aspect or tax bracket you're in, if you can't find happiness where you are, I think, and that's the scary piece, right? Like, what is it to put all of my success hinged on getting the thing? And then when I get it, I realize that it doesn't make me feel different. It actually makes a bigger hole, because the thing that I reserved space for that would hopefully feel, once I got it, it didn't fill it. And so now what I thought was a placeholder is not even able to be filled at this point. That's scary. That's scary.
Oh, even more so when it takes years to get the thing.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I feel like we could just talk about this for hours.
I know. Yeah. This is encouraging me, man. Cause like I'll be honest, like that's something that I always have to keep. I have to always remind myself of that, because I can be very front facing. I can be very future. Like, I want to get this and very ambitious and all about the thing. And how can I climb this mountain, or how can I accomplish this? And if I'm honest with myself, it like, here's the piece to it is, I think often we're chasing something to cope for either an inefficiency, a hole that we've got, some imbalance that we've got. Like, we're often like on to the next thing because we don't really want to slow down and deal with ourselves. Mm. And so if I can just put another goal out there, I don't have to actually deal with myself. I don't have to sit with myself. I don't have to say, you know what, this is a cool place. Like, I don't have to do that. I can always like try to put my focus on something that's out there in the future.
Mm. And I feel like that's where the alignment part is so key, because that's sitting with yourself and taking inspired action towards your goals once you're centered and in that space.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel that it's like, if you're constantly striving for the next thing, when are you ever just being with what you have? Yeah. Right now. So.
And it's like your heart wasn't designed to be in a constant state of, you know, shredding, right? Your heart wasn't designed to go in a blender, come back mm-hmm. out, go into a blender, and you just don't give yourself grace and space to be normal. Right. And you're always pushing for the next thing. And I know for me that, busyness is the opposite of like intimacy. So anytime you want to be just present and intimate with the space around you or the people around you, I've noticed it's very hard to do it when you're busy. But yeah, like the people that are most present can really just be there and they can really show up because their mind isn't going. It's not always about the next thing. So it's like, anytime I know for me, if I'm extremely busy, my calendar is extremely packed, I'm just taking tasks, right? And I'm just, all right, cool, got that, cool, check. It's like, did you say hi? Oh, I'm sorry, I meant to say hi, but I didn't, I was just so focused, right? And I think we can live a life perpetually like that, just thing after thing after thing, and you never even realize the journey that you're in. You know, one case example, and I'll stop on this point.
No, you're good.
We lived in Colorado for 3 years. Do you know, I never actually snowboard or skied the entire 3 years we were, I still have never skied or snowboarded in my entire life. And I lived in Colorado for 3 straight years. Never did it. Right. Because it was like you lived in a place, but you were always so heads down, always so busy, always so whatever, that you never actually really enjoyed the place that you're in. And I think that's really a good depiction of how easy it can be to do that in our life, is we just don't even enjoy where you are in the space that you're in.
Mm, wow. Wow. I love this topic so much. And I see this, especially in Colorado Springs, as there is a city here, but when you go out and you get yourself in nature, there is an abundance of it. But if you're just driving to the grocery store and the gym and to work, you're never gonna see it. It's
nope.
Way too easy to get like,
you might as well move to Ohio.
For sure.
If you're going to do that.
Wow. But no, I love what you said. It's like, it's truly about the lifestyle. And that's where I feel Maui was so transformative for my life, is because it was no longer a vacation for us. We lived the vacation. Our lifestyle was vacation. So when we saw people vacationing on Maui,
yeah,
it was interesting because they were always doing, even on vacation. Oh. I've got to go do this hike. I've got to go to this pool.
Exactly.
And they're checking off the boxes, even on vacation. And the interesting part is when you live it,
come on,
you're no longer checking the boxes.
Come
you're
on. Because you just live it. Oh, that's such a mic drop. That's so true. Oh, that's so good.
And it was so sad. And I've got it. Like, I swear to you, every night we had a routine. We'd go have like wine if we wanted, we'd go have dinner on the beach. I just remember my dog constantly running up and down in the water. He's 10 years old, would always act like a puppy. So just our life. And we would always see people walk down to the beach with their family, take a photo and leave.
Wow.
And we were there for 2 hours every night and we lived there.
Yeah.
Like, I literally have goosebumps right now because it honestly it made me sad just to know that at home, they probably don't even go out, but when they're on vacation, they're hurrying through it so much to get to dinner, go home, watch Netflix, whatever. So it just shows you, like, unless you develop a healthy routine always, it's not going to change when you're on vacation.
So
you're
true.
Just going to do it a little different.
So true. Yeah. And that's where the busyness, man, like that's, I think that's where the grind culture can get so dangerous, in that it's so toxic because we're seeing some of the signs, but we've yet to see really the signs of a generation that says, hey, team, no sleep. We got to work 24 hours a day, and I can sell any time of day, cause I can easily pick up my phone and sell something in a different country. I can run at, you know, like we just are in this unique space where you can just do it all day long. And it's just not, it's like Vegas, right? Like if you're not careful, you know, you could be up in that environment and forget, like, oh shoot, there's actually a place outside of this casino, right? Cause it'll, you can get your food there, you get your drink there. They pump oxygen and other stuff into the air to keep you awake. And then you're just like in this simulated environment. Like you don't realize, like, oh, I'm not even living my life. I'm living somebody else's. Wow. So, yeah.
Wow. So I would love to just ask you if you feel like you have anything coming through right now that you would like to share, and then also where listeners can find you, and you could feel free to share your podcast as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would just say, I think as everyone, you know, anyone listening to this episode, that most people are in the discovery of purpose. And I think everyone is just living a life to meet whatever needs they've got. And instead of looking at yourself as someone who, if you've ever made a mistake or if you've done some things that may have not been the best or becoming of who you are or what connects to your purpose, to know that what it is to just doing efforts of meeting your own needs. And that I think once you really get clear on the life that you were placed on earth to be, and that it is abundant, and that yours is better than anyone else's because it's yours, and that everything else is a counterfeit, that you can truly walk into the fullness of life and really enjoy what purpose feels like and what confidence feels like and what it means to live life wide open and enjoy all the things that life has. And so I just encourage everyone to seek it out at whatever cost, to get very clear with who they are and what they are. Because when you finally do that, you will walk into environments where you have no rivals. You will connect with people that have been looking for you their entire lives, wanting the gift and the things that are on the inside of you.
Beautifully said.
And I would just say for me personally, I can be found. So I'm very active on Instagram. So on Instagram, my Instagram handle is @_JustinCarter, JUSTIN Carter, CARTER. Also, I have a podcast as well. It's called the Pivot Mindset Podcast, PIVOT Mindset Podcast. It can be found wherever podcasts can be found. And that's my stuff.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And I hope one day you'll be back to join us, because I would just love to continue this conversation. So
absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Yes. No, thank you. Thank you so much for the invite. The pleasure's been all mine.